God. Did you come hungry for the word here today? Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to call this message this morning, there's no victory without authority. There's no victory without authority. Isn't that what we're going to be celebrating here over this week and next week as we get ready to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What is that resurrection and what does it represent? It represents Christ's victory over death, hell, the grave, his victory over sin, sickness, disease, anxiety, and lack. It is the victory of God over everything that belongs to the enemy. Hallelujah. And so many times we make the mistake of thinking that that victory was only Christ's victory. No, that was our victory. Yes. Praise the Lord. That the Bible says that when Christ raised from the dead, you and I were raised from the dead. Amen. When Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, those that believe on him defeated death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Amen. And there's something that Christ gave to us before he ascended. He told us something very important. He told us that he was going to leave us on this earth with his authority. With his authority. Yeah. Now, this victory is complete. This victory is already purchased. There's nothing more that God is going to need to do about the devil. Right. God isn't going to do anything more about the devil. He's not going to do anything more about sin. He's not going to do anything more against anything of the enemy. Right. He's already done it. Yeah. When he gave his son, Jesus, and then Jesus raised again from the dead, right? And so we're going to go over here in Matthew 28, and we're going to read about this important aspect that has been almost forgotten by the church today. They're waiting on God to do something. They're waiting on God to face this world for them. No, we're in this world. We're not of it, but we're in it. And God has already done everything that he's ever going to do. Right? Praise the Lord. Let me just show you this real quickly. Before we go to Matthew 28, can you do me a favor? Can you find John 16:33? And you can bring it up in the Amplified. You hear me quote this quite a bit. But we need to know and understand this. Remember what Jesus said when he was on the cross, right before the Bible says he gave up his spirit? He said, "It is finished." The work at the cross is a finished work. Hallelujah. Can you bring that up? This is what Jesus said to his disciples. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world," where we are right now, he said, "in the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain and undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you." Amen. That sounds pretty good. Yes. So that means everything that we face, every opposition that we face in this world is a conquered opposition. Yes.
Amen.
Every foe that we face is a conquered foe.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What if you went into every fight knowing that it was rigged in your favor every time? It is rigged in your favor.
Yes.
Now, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to face trials. You're going to face, you know, things that try to frustrate you and things that try to come against you. But just know this, every opposition is a conquered opposition.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Everything that comes against you has been deprived of its power.
Yeah.
Notice it's past tense.
Yeah.
Notice this is something God has already done for us.
Right.
He has deprived the world of its power to harm you. And now here is what we need to know. Go over to Matthew 28. We need to know how to enforce that victory. Because Satan is going to try to come against you in your mind and get you to believe that you really aren't victorious. Oh, he's going to get you to try to think that things can harm you and things can hurt you and things can overcome you, right? But if you know who you are in Christ, if you know authority, then you will have victory. Amen?
Amen?
Let's go to Matthew 28. And this is what Jesus said after his resurrection. Jesus has already been crucified, dead, risen again. And of course, he spent 40 days on the earth before he ascended back up to the right hand of the Father. And Jesus said this. This is some of the last words that Jesus said to his disciples on this earth. This is, of course, again, after the resurrection. This is what the resurrection does for us. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, the original disciples, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And in verse 19, he says, "Go ye therefore." I like that.
Yes.
He says, since all authority is given to me, you go.
Right.
You go. He says, "You go therefore and teach all nations." Right?
Yes.
"Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now go back up there to verse 18. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The word power there, if you look it up in the Greek, it literally is the word for authority. It's not talking about physical power, it's talking about authoritative power. All authority has been given to Christ, right? In heaven and in earth.
That's right.
Oh, praise the Lord. Now remember over there in Philippians chapter 2, where it says that God has given Jesus a name, and his name is the highest name in heaven and in earth and things under the earth.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That everywhere imaginable, the name of Jesus reigns supreme.
Yes.
It is the most authoritative name there is in heaven.
Yes.
It's the most authoritative name there is in earth.
Yes.
It's the most authoritative name in hell.
That's right, yes.
You could say it that way.
Yes.
Things under the earth, that's a reference to the nether world or
sure.
regions there. So we know that it's talking about Jesus came and spoke and said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, a lot of people, they read that and they think, well, how good for Jesus? Well, no, you need to understand something. Whenever you see something written about Jesus, you see yourself.
Yes.
You see yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Do you see yourself in that,
yes.
in that verse, in that scripture? Because you are in Christ.
That's right.
He is the head. We're the body.
That's right.
Now, notice Jesus said, okay, all authority, he's saying, my name is going to be recognized. It is going to be the most accomplishing name in heaven and in earth. When you speak in the name of Jesus, heaven hears.
Yes.
When you speak in the name of Jesus, earth moves.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Now look what he said in verse 19. Bring up verse 19. "Go ye therefore." Jesus is instructing the church. Since authority is given to him in heaven and earth, the church should go. The church should go. Well, how should the church go? The church will go in his authority.
Yeah. Yeah.
Notice that immediately the first thing Jesus did upon his resurrection is he delegated his authority to the church.
That's right.
Meaning he gave the authorization for the church to have authority in this earth in his name.
Yes.
Yes. That he's the head. We are the body. We go in his name,
yes.
carrying his authority through this earth. Glory to God.
That's right.
"Go ye therefore," he says, "teach all nations." Teach in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
When someone preaches the uncompromised word, they are standing there delivering a message as if it was from Jesus himself. I am not standing here today under my own authority. I'm not standing here because of a degree or an education that gave me this job. No. I stand here today. I speak this message as one who has authority in the name of Jesus Christ to preach these things, not within of myself, but in the word and the authority that he gave us. Amen. Go therefore, teach in authority in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, "Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all commandments which I've commanded of you this day." Right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Go with me now. Because how many of you know in the four Gospels that we don't get the full picture by just reading one of them? The reason why there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is because each of them give us another addition or a piece of the puzzle of what Jesus said. And let's go over to Mark chapter 16 and look also what Jesus told us to do in the authority in his name. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. All authority. All authority. Think about that. There's nothing that is not subject to his name.
That's right.
All authority. It's not just political authority.
Right. Come on.
It's not just spiritual authority. It's authority in the realm of anything.
Right.
It is authority in the realm of physical health.
Yes.
It has authority in the realm of provision and finances.
Yes.
It has authority in the realm of the spirit and prayer. Amen. It has authority in every realm, in the mental realm.
Yes.
There's authority in the name of Jesus and in the peace of your mind,
yes,
in the health of your mind.
Yes.
The mental realm, the physical realm, the emotional realm, the financial,
yes,
realm.
Yes.
All authority. Yes, and even the political realm.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
We have to know and understand who's really in control here. There is somebody greater than any and all the politicians and the civic leaders in the earth.
Yes,
it's called Christ reigning through his church.
That's right. Amen.
Do you realize that we are withholding so much?
Yes.
Do you realize that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that Satan has a plan of bringing the Antichrist onto the scene and trying to rule the world through government?
Right.
And he tells us that the church is the one that is withholding,
yes,
that plan. Can't you even see that in the political realm in this country? Where would this country be if it wasn't for the church withholding and standing up against these things? Where would this nation be if the church was not resident here? It would be in very, very deep trouble. And they're trying to push and they're trying to overcome and trying to turn this nation into something that we won't allow it to be. Glory to God, because it doesn't matter what office of the land they hold. It doesn't matter. They're still in authority in this earth. Glory to God. It's called the church.
That's right.
Jesus dwelling and living in,
yes,
his church, and a church that has his delegated authority operating.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are in a more influential seat than even the president of the United States of America. Because when you speak in the name of Jesus, heaven hears you.
Yes.
Heaven hears you.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, heaven does also recognize civic authority. But he hears the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You are in a greater seat of authority than the greatest businessman on the earth.
Yes.
The wealthiest man on the earth. It doesn't matter what they have or what they possess. You are sitting in a more influential seat.
Good.
Glory to God. There's more authority in the name of Jesus than there is authority in money. What money can't change, the name of Jesus can. Oh, man. See, he said all authority in all realms.
Yes,
that's right. Yes, hallelujah. And then go over to Mark 16 and we'll see what also he said before he left, speaking of his authority delegated to the church. See, now you need to understand who the church is. The church is you.
Yes.
The church is you, and it's me, right?
That's right.
And it's us together. I mean, whether it's corporately or individually, authority is granted to us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Authority is granted to us in terms of this corporate body doing what God called us to do, but also individually.
Yes.
See, you got to know this authority.
Oh.
You got to know who's calling the shots here on this earth.
That's right. Amen.
You know, if you always see it as somebody else, you're not going to live in God's highest and best. See, there is something about a Christian that understands their victory. They understand that authority has been granted to them.
Yes.
See, you know, this earth is going to have whatever the church will tolerate. Our country is going to have whatever the church will tolerate. Whatever the church is okay with, that's what's going to move into our country. Yeah.
Come on.
You know, that's right. We could go into a lot of different things right there. I could get myself in a whole heap of trouble, and I'm not scared to. I mean, I pretty much live there.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say anything, you know. But I mean, the church is, you know, Jesus said over there in Matthew, what is it, chapter 18 or 19? He said, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, right? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. One translation says, whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven.
Yeah.
Whatever you permit on earth.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't say whatever I permit. There's a lot of things going on that Jesus would not permit. But the only reason some of those things are being permitted is because the church isn't doing or saying anything against it. The church isn't praying. The church isn't serving. The church isn't giving. The church isn't obeying. And so things are allowed in our nation and on this earth that shouldn't be. Jesus said, pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, who's the ones that are going to pray that? We are. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go over here. This is Mark's rendering of some things that Jesus said before he ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And this is in conjunction of what he said in Matthew's gospel. He said in verse 15, remember, in Matthew 28, he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go and preach the gospel. And he says something similar here in verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, remember why he said that in Matthew, because you have the authority to. You have the authority to. Oh, we see other places. Remember in the book of Acts, do you remember the account of the seven sons of Sceva?
Yes.
Remember there was one, remember that they were using the name of Jesus to try to cast demons out?
Right.
Remember, but yet they themselves did not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They weren't part of the church. And remember what happened?
Yes.
Remember they commanded the seven sons. Here they were, seven grown men who tried to use the name of Jesus to cast the devil out of that man. And remember, the demon spoke up and out of that man and said, he says, Jesus I know. The demon said this. The demon said, Jesus I know and Paul I know. Because remember what they said? They said, we command you, demon, to come out of this man in the name of Jesus Christ, who Paul knows. Remember they said that? They said, in the name of this God of Paul, come out. And the demon responded and said, I know Jesus and I know Paul.
Yes.
He says, but who are you?
Yes.
Remember that?
That's right.
And then the demon proceeded to empower that one man to physically assault all seven grown men and overcame them and literally stripped all their clothes off and beat them and bloodied them.
Yes.
Here they, seven men were overpowered by one man.
That's right.
Because they tried to use the name and the authority that they didn't have.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes.
Now look what that demon said. He says, I know Jesus. He says, I know who that is.
Right.
And also the demon said, I know Paul too.
Right.
Now, is Paul divine? No. Is Paul the Son of God? No. Who's Paul? Just part of the church.
Yeah, there you go.
Who's Paul? Well, just someone who knew his authority in Christ. And that demon says, I know Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you want the devils to be scared of you?
Yeah. Good.
Jesus I know. Yeah. Tim Salmon I know.
That's right.
I'm not saying that because I'm pastor. I mean,
yeah.
Plug your name in there. Brad Hofford, I know.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
But who's Jeff Michener? Just for good old time's sake. If you're new, he used to be in service. Pastor Jeff used to be, you know, the attempt to be the butt of the joke. Of course, Justin now sits in that seat. But since we have you back, Pastor Jeff, for just one Sunday, we had to include you. No, but seriously, I mean, think of how the demon, he said, I know Jesus, I'm terrified of him. I know Paul, I'm terrified of him too, but you don't have the authority.
That's it.
Or you could say that devil said to that man, you don't know any authority. You don't have authority. Think about the world without Jesus and what they don't know. The devil isn't scared of them. The devil doesn't know them, meaning he doesn't fear them or take notice of them. But he says, I know who Jesus is, and I've sure noticed Paul. Don't you think the demons could say that about you? Why? Because you're in the same church. You're in the same class as Paul the Apostle.
Yes.
Say, well, he's an apostle, and he wrote, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament. No, it wasn't based on that. It was based on the fact that he knew authority.
Yes.
Remember that over there in the book of Acts? See, we need to know and understand how the realm of the spirit, how demonic personalities will know and recognize somebody. They will be terrified of somebody that will know their authority in Jesus.
Amen.
They will be terrified of someone who actually knows what will be permitted and won't, and what won't be permitted. The person that knows the boundaries. Come on. Look what Jesus said over here. He said, go ye into all the world, remember? He told them because he has authority. Go ye therefore.
Right.
Since all authority is given to me, here I delegate it to you. Now go into the world.
Right.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Look what he says. In my name. In my name for believers.
Yes.
What does that mean? In my authority.
Yes, sure.
It is like the power of attorney.
Yes.
When Jesus rose again from the dead and when he delegated that authority, you became literally the power of attorney for his will.
Good.
Power of attorney. Do you know what that means? That means you get to execute legal action based on somebody else.
Yes.
Or for somebody else.
Good.
On behalf of somebody else. Oh, my goodness. You know, the power of attorney rests with you and me.
Yes.
You know, isn't that how a natural will or a testament works? You know, when somebody writes a will, okay, and when they die and are no longer here, all right, somebody is made an executor or they're given power of attorney over their will, their estate, right? Isn't that what happens? This is the same way. Do you know that the word will and testament are the same? We are living in the new will.
Yeah, sure.
Or the written will of God that Jesus left behind and gave you power of attorney to execute it on this earth.
Amen. That's right.
He said, in my name. Oh, come on now.
Yes.
Legally speaking, you know, I've had, I've been in that situation, you know, power of attorney or something, or been authorized. There's been times when I've been authorized in this church that I will make decisions on behalf of this church legally. And there's times when you have the power of attorney, when you are there, even though you are not that person, obviously we all don't go to the lawyer's office when we purchase a church building or something. You know, we all don't go there. I go there and execute the authority that's been granted to me through our church board and so on, right?
Yes.
I go and I do that. Or in the same way, if you've ever been the power of attorney for someone who left a will, when you are there, legally speaking, it is just as though, in the eyes of the court,
sure,
in the eyes of the legal system, it is as though that person is there.
Yes.
Even though you're there on their behalf, they're not there, they're gone.
Right.
But in the eyes of the courts, in the legal sense, it is as though they are there and you are them. In the same way, when Jesus left you a will, okay, he said, here's my written will. This is what you're going to go do. Go and teach in the authority that I left for you. You're going to be the power of attorney because I'm going back. And in my name, you are going to stand on this earth as though it is me standing there. And when Jesus was on this earth, he was one man, so to speak. You understand? He was one man filled with the Spirit. He was one man with that executive power or that power of attorney on this earth. But when he delegated it, there was no longer just going to be one Jesus running around. He was going to have millions of Jesuses running around in his executive power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Think about that. You have the power of attorney. You are executing his will, his written testament on this earth. See, so many people, Christians, are standing around saying, well, I'll let someone else do that. I'll let someone else do that. That'll work for the pastor. That'll work for, you know, another minister or somebody like that. No, it works for you. I have no more granted authority. Now, in the office of a pastor, I'm given more responsibility in some ways. But in terms of the actual authority or the faith, I'm not granted any more access to those things than you are.
Right.
You can use the same authority that I use, the same authority as Billy Graham.
Right.
You have the same authority in the mind of God as anyone that has ever walked this earth.
That's right. Amen.
In my name.
Yes.
Look what Jesus says. He says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that enter into my authority.
Yes, sure.
These signs shall follow them that are the church.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Yep. You could just go ahead and put your name. And these signs shall follow Tim Stallman.
Right. There you go.
Yeah, praise the Lord. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name as the executor of my will. They shall cast out demons. Praise the Lord. Oh, we don't talk about that anymore. You know, churches are too sophisticated and too civilized to talk about casting out devils. Well, obviously, it was the first thing Jesus said here. Jesus' name hasn't changed. His authority hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. So there must be plenty of demons that need to be dealt with. What did he say? He said, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to take authority over the devil.
That's right.
You're going to take authority over the devil. Some people say, well, I don't really believe in the devil. Well, then you are so hoodwinked. I just believe that Satan just is an allegorical, metaphorical representation of general evil on this earth. Oh, well, you are mistaken. There is a real personality. There is a real being who is the head of a satanic hierarchy. His name is Satan. And, of course, if you don't believe me, you can go ahead and you can read Ephesians 6:12 yourself. And it talks about the different levels and classes of demons and what they do and so on. Okay? They exist. They are real. They attack you. They hate you. You are the apple of God's eye. That means you are the target of Satan's hate. Anything God loves, Satan hates. And I'm not here to try to make you scared. No, not at all. I'm trying to get you to realize that a lot of your opposition in life comes from the unseen realm.
That's right.
And comes from demonic personalities.
That's right.
And the first thing you need to know and understand is that you have authority over them.
Amen.
You're the boss.
Yeah, that's right.
They're scared of you. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out demons. They shall what? Speak with new tongues. Oh, my goodness, don't mention that in church. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that tongue business. Tongues is of the devil. It is. Well, then how do you speak in new tongues in the name of Jesus if it's of the devil? Sounds like something that he's authorized in his authority for believers. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. We don't have a time to go and teach on that complete subject, but I did write a book on it. You know, pick it up. Take one off the bookshelf. Don't pay for it if you don't want. I don't care. Steal it.
Yeah.
Just as long as you read it. Wouldn't that be ironic? Oh, I got to hear what the Bible has to say, but I don't want to pay for it, so I'm going to steal it. Be kind of ironic to steal something based on scripture. Anyhow, I don't care. If you read it and it changed your life, go ahead, take it. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Oh, well, glory to God. Obviously, Jesus can't be against the experience of speaking in tongues. He obviously must be for it. Because he forever and eternally attaches his name. You know? Uh-huh. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents. Oh, no, snake handling church. Nope, not talk about snakes here. You'll see here in just a little bit what we're talking about. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Oh, glory to God. Notice you have authority over demons. And now you have authority over attempts to kill your life.
Yeah.
You have authority in some. Let me say this and get you so you understand it. You have authority over death.
Yes.
You have authority over death. And what I mean by that is premature death.
Right.
You have authority over it. Any deadly thing shall not hurt you.
That's right.
Wow, praise the Lord. We got to know and understand our authority. Oh, they shall take up serpents. The word serpent here is a reference to demonic personalities again. You'll see this in a little bit. They shall drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. How did they go forth? In his authority. Preaching the gospel to every living creature. Right? Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. These signs will follow them that believe, casting out devils, speaking in tongues. Any deadly thing shall not hurt them. Laying hands on the sick and the sick becoming well. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. With signs following the word of God. Hallelujah. The authority that Christ gave us on this earth. The authority that Christ gave us. Listen, I'll tell you what. Things come against you. Things could be raging against your physical health, your mental health, your financial health, whatever they are. Listen, you have to understand, you have authority in this earth. Whatever you're okay with is what the devil's going to make sure you have.
Come on.
You're just okay with it? Are you okay living paycheck to paycheck for the rest of your life? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with a certain level of mental instability or psychological sickness or something like that? Are you okay with that? No. Can't be okay with it. Are you okay with pain in your body all the time? Are you okay with attacks of sickness and disease upon your body? Are you okay with it? Listen, whatever you permit on this earth will be permitted in heaven. Are you okay with the political environment of our country? Are you okay with these new laws that are giving more and more license of sin and taking away more and more influence of the gospel? Are you okay with that?
No.
You can't be all right with it.
No.
You know, you say, well, how do we change it? Well, yeah, you know, you have to be involved somewhat in the political process, but more than anything, your authority in how you speak and how you declare and how you take authority in our, you know, loose the will of God in our government. Tell thoughts of depression and discouragement. You got to tell them and put them on notice.
Right.
You're not permitted here. Go.
That's right. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'm being led to go a different direction here. I was going to take you somewhere else. But go with me to Matthew chapter 8 and see some things here. You have authority. You know, we sing songs about having victory. Well, yeah, you have it, but you have to enforce it. Some people are waiting for God to do something else with the devil. He's not going to. He's not going to. Okay? You're waiting for God to do something about that problem or that issue. Listen, he gave you authority. He's going to work with you. He's not going to do everything for you. You have to know and understand this. Matthew chapter 8. Watch this. We have to know and understand how authority works. Watch this. We'll start in verse 1, Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down, this is talking about Jesus. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, or you could say it this way, a sick man. A leper was somebody with a skin disease. And he worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean or be whole. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto him. Verse 5 is what I want to get to. And when Jesus, now of course we see how Jesus dealt with sickness.
Right?
He spoke. He said, be healed.
That's right.
Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. That means a soldier or a captain of the army. A centurion, century, means 100. It means a captain of 100 soldiers. Okay, so this guy was a leader in the Roman army. Okay, watch this. And Jesus entered into Capernaum. There came this Roman captain beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. All right, so this man has a servant who is greatly sickened or diseased. And in verse 7, Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now watch this. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Now that's not the part of this that you want to imitate. Okay? Now you want to imitate his humility. But the actual words there, now this Roman centurion is actually right when he says that. Because he does not have a covenant with God. He is not a Christian. He's not a Jew, right? He had no place in God's covenant, right? He was going to shortly need to be born again, submit his life to God. He says, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. But that's not the case for you and I. We would never say that to God. You understand that? We would never say, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. He'd say, oh, really? I already live on the inside of you. What do you mean you're not worthy? I shed the blood of my son to make you worthy. Now, obviously, this man was humble, but we don't ever go before God and say, God, I'm not worthy to be here. If you say that, then you are calling God a liar.
You're right.
Because he says, come boldly to my throne of grace.
That's right. Yeah.
You will never see in the New Testament a Christian ever go before God and say, I'm not worthy to be here.
Right.
You have to know, if you are a believer in Christ, whether you feel worthy, whether you always act worthy or not, you're called to come in before his presence. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have with him. Come boldly before his throne of grace. God wants you there boldly. He wants you there confident. Right? The Bible says that God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, that he could make you and I the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made you the righteousness of Christ. He made you worthy. Don't you just come before God and try to trick God with some kind of false humility. Now, this man is not in the same shoes.
Right.
And in our Sunday school class, of course, we didn't have it today. We won't have it on Easter Sunday as well. But we've been teaching Bible interpretation and how there are different audiences addressed in the Bible. You have to understand that the Bible gives us three main groups that God deals with, and he deals with each of them differently.
Yes.
There's the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God.
That's right, yes.
Okay? You are not, you could be Jewish by nationality, by descent or whatever. But if you're a Christian, you are in the church.
Right.
You are not in the Old Testament form of the word Jewish. You're not Jewish, and you're not Gentile.
Right.
God deals with those two groups differently than he deals with us. The Jews were his servants, who have become estranged.
Right, that's right.
The Gentiles are those that have no approach to God.
Right.
But the church, we're his children.
Yes.
We're his family.
Yes.
We're his house.
That's right. Amen.
Glory to God. This man was not a Jew. He was not a part of the church. He was a heathen.
Yeah.
The word heathen means just someone that doesn't know God.
Yeah.
Okay? And so when he says, I'm not worthy, don't you mimic and go and try to imitate this man, because you're not in the same shoes as he is or was. Okay? He's right when he says at that point he wasn't worthy. But what else he says is just amazing in what Jesus commends him on. He says, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Now let's watch and see what Jesus, how Jesus reacts to that. Now, look what the man continues to say in verse 9. He says, because I am a man under authority.
That's it.
He says, speak the word only, Jesus, and my servant will be healed because I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. In verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Wow. Jesus called what this man said about authority great faith.
Yes.
He called it great faith. Look what this man, he grasped something. He said, "Jesus, wait, you don't even have to come into my house. Just speak the word only, because I know what authority does."
Yes.
First of all, this is what authority does. It speaks the word.
Yes.
Authority can achieve with or without proximity. Whether you're there or whether it's in the spirit, it still achieves whether you're there or not. That's why when I speak concerning things pertaining to our government, I know that it changes whether I go to Washington or not. Whether I'm in the legislature, whether I'm part of the Senate or the Congress or not, listen, if I don't have a voice there, I have a voice in a greater court. It's called the court of heaven.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When I speak, authority can change whether I'm there in proximity or not.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This man tapped into a knowledge that marveled Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus marveled and said, "Wow," almost like, "How did you know that?
Yeah, right.
How did you get that? How did you come to believe and understand that I am under authority on this earth?" The man says, "For I am a man under authority. I know how this works." Jesus, you can just say, the man said, "Listen, Jesus, just as easy as I can tell my soldiers to come and go or my servant to do this and that, you can command a man to be healed just the same."
Yes.
Wow.
Notice
he said the authority of Jesus is in command over sickness, illness, and disease. Was he not? Jesus marveled and said this man has great faith. So this man tapped into an understanding of what authority is and how the authority of Jesus works. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. And my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only. You don't have to come into my house.
Right.
You might not even have to lay hands on him or touch him or anything.
That's right.
Speak the word only. He says, because that's what authority does.
That's right. Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
This is what authority does. He says, I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. This man says, just like I'm a captain who commands soldiers, Jesus, you are a captain and you command healing.
Yes.
You command power.
Right. Yes.
You speak it and it goes. Just like I command things in the natural and soldiers go where I tell them to go, you speak in the realm of the spirit and things change.
Yes. Glory to God, that's right.
And Jesus said, wow, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel.
Yeah.
He said, this man's not even an Israelite. He doesn't even know anything about the Old Testament.
Right.
He doesn't know God, and yet he understands authority better than God's own people.
Right.
He said, because I'm also a man under authority.
Yes.
Think about that. Here's the authority of Jesus. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And of course, you know the rest of the story. In verse 11, Jesus says, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that awesome? Jesus said, this man's got faith. He's going to sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then, of course, you know the rest of it down there in verse 13. It says, his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Jesus never walked in that house, never saw that servant, and yet there was power that was released. Jesus gave the word.
That's it.
Authority acted, authority spoke, and things changed.
Yes.
Do you realize? This man said, he says, I too have things under me.
Right. Yeah.
That man was saying, Jesus, sickness and disease is under you.
Yeah, that's right.
Healing and health is under your power.
Yeah.
Think about that. All right, you guys are not excited enough. Go to Ephesians. Praise the Lord. Don't think I'm letting you out of here early today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You getting something out of this? Come on. See, this is how we have victory in this life. We know and understand this. What are you willing to put up with? Meaning, you know, if you tolerate it, if you're okay with it, then it can stay. Because if you're okay with it, God will be okay with it. Heaven will allow you to have whatever you're willing to have. And God won't be blamable. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, why don't we just start in verse 16? You hear me pray this all the time. If you've been around here, if you know me at all, I have these passages just built into me. This is one of my favorite passages in the New Testament because it's speaking about you and me. It's talking about the church. In verse 16, Paul says this concerning the church at Ephesus. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is how Paul prayed for other believers. This is how you and I can pray for other believers. Maybe backslidden believers, maybe believers that are young, any believer for that matter. But notice that it is eternally recorded in God's word. That means that it's a Holy Spirit anointed prayer. I pray these things for my family. I pray them over you. Honestly, this is how I pray for every single one of you. If you've ever wondered how you're prayed for by me personally at this church, this is it.
Right.
This is what I pray. You know, praise the Lord. Verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you will know the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believes according to the working of his mighty power. Now, pay attention right here. Which he wrought in Christ, the power of God, which was wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, everyone say this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, say church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. Look what it says here. The power which was wrought in Christ when he raised from the dead, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that can be named in this world or the next. Anything that has a name. Anything that has a name. The authority of Jesus works on it.
Yes, glory to God, that's right.
Well, anything that has a name, that's pretty much everything.
Yes.
If it's called by something,
that's right.
Then the authority of Jesus works on it.
Yes.
It's subject, it's under him. Remember what the centurion said? He says, for I have soldiers under me.
That's right.
Basically telling Jesus, just like sickness and disease is under you.
Yeah.
Well, how nice for Jesus. You know? Boy, it would sure be nice if it was under our feet, too. Sure would be nice. Sure would be nice. Keep on reading. Which is his body, the church, that fills all in all. Okay? Well, now we just got to ask ourselves. Jesus is the head. We are the rest of the body. Okay? Don't get tricked by this question now. Real difficult question. Are you ready? For the geniuses in the room, are we ready for this big tough question? Here we go. Are the feet part of the head, or are the feet part of the body? The feet are part of the body, and so if everything's under his feet, this talking about us.
Yes.
We are the body. Yes. We're not the head, but we're the body, and the feet are mentioned. That's us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Far above all principality, power, and might. You know, I don't know why. I get this picture every time I read that verse. And I know this is going to really be cheesy, but just bear with me. I get this picture in my mind of me sitting in heaven, almost like on this white, structure, you know, looking way down upon the earth, and my feet are dangling. I don't know, every time I read that scripture, I just see myself just kind of sitting there with my feet kind of, you know how you might sit like on a porch or a swing, and you're relaxing, and your feet are dangling off, you know, you're not concerned about a thing, you know. I get that picture of sitting up there with everything in the world, every bit of it, anything is below me,
right?
Glory to God. And I see everything from that view. Everything is under our feet.
That's right.
Everything is under our feet.
Yes.
Glory to God. Not, you know, sin is under our feet. Sickness and disease is under our feet. Depression and anxiety. You know, all the cares of this world are under us. Death is under our feet.
Yes, that's right.
You can't kill a Christian. You can only make them more alive.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, death tries to come on the body, right? It just, you know, he took the sting out of it.
That's right.
The Christian just becomes more alive.
Yes.
There's nothing that isn't under the feet of Jesus, which is us, the church. Glory to God. But see, we have to know and understand this authority. We have to use it. What did the man say? Speak the word only. Jesus said, I'm marveled. That's great faith.
Yes.
Just speak the word only. The man was saying there's nothing physically that can be done that can't be done in a greater measure just through your words.
Right.
Amen. Glory to God. Go with me to the book of James. Hallelujah. Authority. Authority. Given to the church. Far above all principality. See, this is who you are. See yourself sitting on that structure, whatever that thing is, you know, far above, looking down. Everything's under your feet. Yeah, glory to God. The man said, the Roman centurion said, everything's under, you know. He said, I have soldiers under me. Everything else is under you. Think about that, how Jesus marveled. He said, just like I can command soldiers to go and they go, you can command sickness to go and it goes. This is the authority that was delegated to the church.
Right.
If Jesus did it, so can you and I.
Yes. That's right.
Praise the Lord. No, I don't believe we can do that. Jesus did things, you know, we can't do them. Okay, can you real quickly just bring up, for the sake of time, John 14:12? This is, you know, let's see if Jesus said you can do what he does. Actually, I'm going to tell you right now, some news right now. He did tell us that the things that we do are going to not be the same as his. He did say they're not going to be the same. He did say that, so guess we just have to read it ourselves. Verily, verily, Jesus says, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Anybody in here? He didn't say the pastor. He didn't say the prophet. Right? He said the believer. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also do?
That's right.
Boy, that'd be neat if it just stopped right there, except it goes on. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Yes.
Have you ever realized that Jesus said, you'll do what he did, and greater works?
Yes.
Greater works. Greater works. Well, how about this? How about we make a deal? Let's just do the works of Jesus to start, and then we'll go on to the greater ones. Oh, hallelujah. So when I see what Jesus did, he said, the works that I do, you can do. His authority is your authority. It's given to you. In my name, he said, you'll cast out demons. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he's going to do also. See, so many times we think of ourselves, you know, incapable of doing what Jesus did. Oh, you better start seeing yourself in a whole new light. Not because it's you. We're not trying to glorify you or glorify humanity. You have to understand that this is what Jesus said you can do. Well, go to James chapter 4. You know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. Hallelujah. James 4:7. You don't need to, in this case, you don't need to read, you know, all the verses around it. It does just fine by itself. You're not taking anything out of context by just reading this scripture by itself. It just says it real plainly. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's pretty simple. I dare you to do it. You could say it this way. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, to God. Consecrate. Dedicate yourself fully to the plan of God. We've been teaching on that recently, haven't we? Right? Well, this is what is in store for those that are fully dedicated. Submitted. Oh, yeah. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. He will flee from you. Oh, my goodness. It sounds like Ephesians 4:27. It says, give neither place to the devil. Don't give him place. Wow. So if it's up to us whether we give him place or not. If you resist him, he runs. He's defeated. He's conquered. Every opposition is a conquered foe already. If he runs from you, who's in the greater seat of authority? We are. We are. Did you get a hold of that? I mean, so many times people are thinking the devil is bigger and taller. He's not. He is defeated. Glory to God. Go to 1 John. Just a couple pages away. Go to 1 John 5:18. Praise the Lord. Authority. Here's the key to your victory. Authority. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not going to permit the things that, you know, I'm not going to permit anything less than what God said I could have.
No, that's right.
God said I could have it. I'm not going to let the devil come and knock on my door and see if he can steal it. Oh, praise God. Verse 18. It says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. We do. Oh, boy, it sure doesn't look like it so much in the modern day Extreme Grace Church. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not. That means when the power of God is on the inside of you, you aren't okay with living a life of sin. You're not okay with it. Anyone that calls themselves a believer but yet is cozy with sin better check up on their spiritual health. I like how John just makes it so simple, doesn't he? Doesn't he just make it so simple? You're right there. Hold your place. Just go back to chapter 1. You know how he makes it very clear. He makes it very clear. 1 John 1 in verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So God doesn't let you play church. You might be able to fool me, but you can't fool him. And I say this, you don't fool me either. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Look at over here. Well, look at verse 4 and 5. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. See, that's why I say, it's, you know, you don't believe. You know, a lot of people say, well, I believe. Trust me, I have it all up here. I believe it. No, what you believe is not a matter of your memory. What you believe is a matter of your actions. You don't believe what you think. You believe what you do. God doesn't believe a word you say. He believes what your actions say. Oh, well, glory to God. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. How do you know that you're in Christ? Because you just have a desire to obey the word. How do you know? You want to keep his word. Well, now that we got that out of the way. I mean, isn't it very simple? I mean, we're living in the days and times where people are preaching a grace message that says, you know, it's okay to sin. It's okay to be rebellious. It's okay to have these things in your life. After all, we're under grace. Nobody's perfect. Well, you're right. You know, we make mistakes, and God's faithful and just to forgive us, but when we confess our sin. But anyone that's a born-again believer that's just okay with being unfaithful, God ain't going to tolerate that. I'm just telling you. We know that whosoever is born of God doesn't sin, meaning doesn't live in a lifestyle of sin. Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit. But he that is begotten of God, now this is the part of the verse I want to focus on. Is there anybody here begotten of God? That means born again, born of God. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself or guards himself, and that wicked one touches him not. I like that. I like that the word says that it is completely possible for me to live in such a way that the devil cannot touch me.
Yes. Yes.
Cannot touch me. Oh my goodness. Notice it's not up to the devil whether or not he touches us or hurts our lives. It's not up to him. We're the ones in authority.
Yes.
We're the ones calling those shots. Bible says if you guard yourself, and in context it's talking about if you guard your living practices. Oh yeah. You keep your word. You're a person of honesty and integrity.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's right.
Amen. It says that you'll guard yourself in how you conduct yourself, and that wicked one touches you not. I like that. If I'm in the will of God, if you're in the will of God, Satan isn't going to be able to hurt you. He isn't going to be able to hurt you. Let me show you this. Luke 10, and we'll end here. Luke 10. The wicked one touches him not. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He flees from you.
Yes.
Guard your living and lifestyle.
Yes.
He can't touch you.
That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Give neither place to the devil. Amen. Go to Luke chapter 10. You know where I'm going with this too. That just was in my heart to teach on authority. Because that's what, you know, this time of year, our minds, we start to think about the resurrection. Well, we need to understand what the resurrection accomplished. It was there to grant authority to the church. We're not living in just, physical power. We're living in resurrection power. Authoritative power. Authority. That man said, I too, Jesus, I'm under authority. I tell soldiers to come and go, and it happens. You say sickness goes, and it happens. This is the same authority that was delegated to us. Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also in greater works. Why? Because Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father now. Luke 10. And now, for the sake of time, let's go to verse 17. And all the way up until verse 17, Jesus sent out 70 disciples. Sometimes we think that the only disciples that were the original 12. No, there was hundreds and actually thousands more disciples. They weren't in that class as those 12 that were with Jesus all the time, but Jesus had a lot of other followers. Okay, and he appointed 70 to go two by two into the cities and villages that he was going to go and teach. And remember, you know, and then chapter 10 is telling them, Jesus is saying, listen, when you go, don't bother carrying money. You know, don't take a bunch of stuff with you. Preach in my name. If they receive you, they receive me. If not, dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Remember? And he says, behold, I give you authority. You know, Jesus basically anoints them with authority in his name to go out and do his exploits. And they come back and they're all excited what they have done in his name. And then we pick it up in verse 17. This is an illustration of the church. This is what the church does today. Verse 17, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, that just means demons, even the demons are subject unto us through your name. They're just, woo, glory to God. Everywhere we go, we're seeing victory and so on. And look what Jesus' response to them is. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're rejoicing that the demons are subject to them in the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, yeah, I know. I saw Satan fall. He didn't say, I saw Satan get bigger. I didn't see Satan get stronger. I saw him take the ultimate spill. He fell to the earth. He didn't ascend to the earth. He didn't grow in strength upon the earth. He fell. He was booted out of heaven. He was rejected for his pride. He was kicked out. He said, yeah, I know. I kicked him to the earth. And he fell. And it was a hard fall. It was like lightning falls to the earth. He didn't just have a pretty little fall. He had the biggest spill in history. Get out. He got kicked out, and he says, I know, I cast him down to this earth. And then Jesus said, I then gave you authority to go and trounce upon him.
That's right.
You know, just like in the garden, when his feet were taken out from under him, I kicked him out, made him crawl on this earth like a serpent and a scorpion, and now I'm going to give you power over him. He says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What is that saying to us? Jesus saying, yeah, I know, I kicked him out of heaven. He fell down to the earth where you are now. You live on the same rock as Satan does. He said, but don't be dismayed, for I've given you power and authority. And that's why they're so excited. Woo! Even the demons are subject to us in your name. You know? And then look at verse 19, the scripture that we all are familiar with. Jesus says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Yes. Glory to God. The word power, again, is the same word authority. He says, behold, I gave you authority. That is why you have tread upon serpents and scorpions. That's why when Jesus said over there in Mark 16, they shall take up serpents, it doesn't mean that you literally go find a poisonous snake and dance around like an Appalachian church service, okay? Woo, ding, 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 woo! Look at my faith. Ouch! Yeah. I don't want to make fun of anybody. That's not my heart, you know, but I saw some guys like, yeah, I've been a faith snake dancer. I saw it on TV. I don't know anybody that personally does this. He's like, yeah, I've been dancing, you know, showing my faith with these deadly serpents. He said, I've been bit 160 times. Well, your faith might not be there then, buddy, you know, because they do that to demonstrate their faith. He said, yeah, we keep the antidote in the back room. So when they get bit, they can give themselves a shot and not die. Stop talking about dancing with snakes. It's talking about taking authority over the devil. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Aren't you glad for rightfully dividing the word of truth? Rightfully dividing, interpreting the scripture with other scripture? Oh, you know, I mean, and also thank the Lord for common sense. Praise the Lord. I'm just having fun. I'm not trying to criticize anybody. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Everyone say all.
All.
All the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Any means. Any means. Any means. Meaning that the devil will obviously try multiple kinds of means, different ways of trying to hurt you. But Jesus said, not by any means shall it hurt you. He shall not hurt you spiritually. He shall not hurt you physically. He shall not hurt you financially. He shall not hurt you emotionally. He shall not hurt you mentally. He shall not hurt you maritally. Not by any means, but by any means, nothing shall hurt you. Now, let's make sure to take this in proper context, because some of you are sitting here thinking that I'm saying that you would never be tested in those areas. Oh, you can be tested. But listen, here's what you know now. When you do face those things, can't hurt me.
That's right. Amen.
Can't hurt me. Can't hurt me. Can't hurt me. You know, remember when you were a kid You know, and there was always that bully that would, you know, that was older and bigger and tougher than you are. And, you know, they would do things, or maybe you had older brothers like I did. You know, and of course their goal was to, you know, to get you. You know, and their goal was to get your reaction. It fueled them. It was like their passion in life, just to get a reaction out of Timmy. Yeah. You know, I had a brother that was 4 years older than me and a brother that was 5 years older than me. And so I learned to fight dirty. Praise the Lord. And of course, there was always some new attack, some new ambush, some new extreme tickle torture, you know, whatever it was, right? And of course, what do you try to do when you're that kid that's the you know, you're the focal point of their attacks, you know? That didn't hurt. That didn't hurt. That didn't hurt. That didn't hurt. And why does that kid try to say that? Because they're trying to show themselves, listen, you're not going to get the satisfaction of the reaction. You know, the devil's the same way. If you show him that you're an overreactor, you've just invited the next attack. Because nothing by any means shall hurt you. But see, there's people out there that when you have hung your joy, I'm just going to put my glasses right here. When you hang your joy on certain things, and when you make those things a crutch, the devil's going to be sure to come along. He's going to wait until you're just leaning on that thing heavy, and then he's going to try to kick it out from underneath you. Yep, that's absolutely right. If you're hanging your joy on finances, you can better believe now that if your joy is hanging on there, then it's going to hurt you.
Yeah, right.
But if your joy is not hanging on finances, it can't hurt you.
That's right, amen.
Didn't hurt, devil. Because my joy wasn't there anyway.
Good.
Well, if you're taking a relationship and making it your crutch, oh my goodness, I got to be with so-and-so, even though they're not following God, even though they don't love God, they don't treat me right, but you know, I love them. Well, why? You know, you act, never mind. I just see that going to a very interesting place, and we'll stay out of that for today. But you know, so many people, they'll hang their joy on a relationship. You know, even though that person's wrong for them, treats them wrong, doesn't follow God the way they should. See, well, when that relationship goes, you know, or it meddles in, you know, into tough circumstances or whatever, it is going to hurt.
Right.
Because your joy's there.
That's right.
Oh, people put their joy on a relationship. Oh, I just got to marry so-and-so. I just got to marry him. I got to marry her. Well, yeah, you show how desperate you are. You're not desperate. You're never desperate. You know, oh, but I got to have this. I got to have that. No, there's something worse than being lonely. That's having the wrong marriage. Oh, you know, there's something worse than not having all the money in the world. You know, there's something worse than that. You have to understand that when you hang your joy on material, physical things, you hang your joy on things that aren't completely of God, I'll tell you what, when they get kicked out from underneath you, then it's going to hurt.
That's right.
Oh, all my joy is on this job. All my joy is on this business. Well, what are you going to do? And the devil gives that thing a kick. Well, then your joy goes down. Because the same thing that can take you up is the same thing that can take you down. But if the thing that takes you up is Jesus, then nothing can take it down.
Right.
You know, hang your joy on him and his word. Hang your joy on his promises, because the devil cannot kick that out from underneath you. He can kick out relationships. He can kick out finances. You know what I mean? He can attack those areas. Well, my joy is on this. My joy is, you know, on this entertainment. My joy is in my recreation. Well, what are you going to do when that's kicked out from underneath you? Then it hurt. But see, it was never meant to hurt. Because when you're hanging your hat on Christ, when you're hanging your joy on his word, he can't. The devil can't kick that away. Can't kick that away. You know? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. So when the devil, you know, tries to give you that, you know, that pinch, you know what I mean? Like if you had older brothers, not comparing my older brothers to the devil. But man, I had to fight dirty. I mean, anything around me within reach, it was fair game. I'd hear them coming down the hallway, with sinister laughs.
Yeah.
I started just looking around.
Yeah.
I mean, they would come in. Oh, man, they paid a price a few times. I remember one time, my one brother held me down, you know, I mean, just tickling. I mean, the Stallman tickle, it was not like for fun. It was like you laughed for about 30 seconds, and then you started wailing in tears and just sheer pain. I mean, it was like they will just force, oh, stop, you know, submission. I remember one time I fought free. I got loose and got free up on top of the bed. I stood up, and I just took the heel of my ankle and went, boom, right on my brother's face. It busted his nose open. And then I remember grabbing a wiffle ball bat that I had filled with.
Oh, yeah.
I filled a wiffle ball bat and made it heavier. I filled it with a bunch of like wet newspaper.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I remember I was hiding behind a door and I heard them creeping down the hall looking for me. Step out. Wham! See? And again, not to encourage that. I'm trying to make a really bad illustration. Again, if my brothers are watching, I'm not comparing you to the devil. I love my brothers. But when the devil comes sneaking down the hall, you are going to have to find some authority.
That's right.
And you're going to have to tell him, no, you go.
That's right.
Glory to God. I know, really weak illustration, but my goodness. You know, did you get something out of this today? Don't you be a victim.
No.
Don't you have a victim mentality. Don't think about how weak and how incapable you are. Listen, you have the same authority of Jesus. You can submit yourself to God. You resist the devil. He flees from you. He is terrified of you. One translation of that verse does say to flee as in terror. He will flee as in terror of you. And so you have to know and understand that. What are you going to allow? Up to you. You have the same authority of Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. Father, we thank you for your goodness.